You're listening to Idaho Sports Talk with Prater in the Ballgame on Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket.
Hit us up on the Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline, 208-424-9300. We're going to have some fun this hour, NFL playoffs, some feedback finale, Prater. But I've been waiting to introduce this guest, and you know this man. I love this dude. Our new playoff correspondent, former NFL coach, former Boise State head coach, and really one of the biggest names in football in the state of Idaho. Welcome Dirk Cutter to Idaho Sports Talk. What's up, coach?
One thing I can say for sure, I've never been called a correspondent.
And Johnny Ballgame and I have never been called a coach, so I think it works out, coach.
I guess we're even then.
Hey, coach, I heard, you know, I wasn't allowed in the contract negotiations with you and KTIK, but I heard you were firm, you had a price, you asked for it, and the suits, well, they obliged, coach, and they paid you all this money up front. Congratulations.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. I'm on a fixed income now, so I need that money.
Coach, let's talk some playoffs, but first let's start with last week, the San Francisco 49ers going into Dallas and beating the Cowboys. That last play, you know, Mike McCarthy, Kellen Moore, Dak Prescott have all shared their thoughts on it. You know, you've been in those situations multiple times over. What was your takeaway from that last play in the Cowboys game when they just couldn't get the playoff in time?
Yeah, a couple things on that, you know, it's the kind of stuff that when I hear all these guys on TV talking about that last play. First of all, let's say they did get the ball spiked and they had 1 second left. Everybody's acting like all they had to do was line up and kick a field goal and they were going to win. I mean, they still had to figure out a way to score a touchdown from the 25-yard line, and the odds against that are stupendous. Yep. So, I mean, it's not like that play cost them the game. Now, with that particular play that they ran, there's nothing wrong with what happened there, because the Niners were in what we call a blanket defense, where they're guarding the sideline. They're trying to not let you get out of bounds. And that's the first play that they played that defense on. Up until then, the Cowboys did a great job of moving down the field with no timeouts and getting out of bounds. The quarterback draw in and of itself is a good call against that defensive structure. The problem is that play is only designed to get 10 to 12 yards with 14 seconds on the clock. If you really look at it, Dak Prescott ran almost 19 yards from where he started the line of scrimmage, not where he was because he was in the shotgun, and then his feet when he slid were on the 21-yard line. They could have easily run the quarterback draw and got it spiked in 14 seconds had Dak not run 20-plus yards and just run the 10 to 12 that's what the play is designed for. A lot of people in that situation, if you go back and look at it, they run a slant pass to either the X wide receiver or the tight end who was on the front side. They run 10 to 12 yards. They give themselves up. You go up and you spike the ball. 14 seconds, plenty of time to do it. So Cowboys got nobody to blame on that except themselves. They just tried to get too greedy. And even if they did get it, it would have been tough to score a touchdown on the next play.
Dirk Cutter hanging out with us, former NFL head coach. And, you know, just to follow up, we don't know what's going to happen in Dallas. Prater and I think will probably stay the same. Mike McCarthy, head coach, Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator. But I'm really glad I have you on here. Coincidentally, like, you've went through a process that you just don't see very often in the NFL. And, you know, maybe we see it in Dallas, maybe we don't, but that's, you know, letting a head coach go so you can promote the offensive coordinator to the head coach of that spot. I know you were very emotional when you got that gig in Tampa because they fired the guy that hired you, Lovie Smith, to give you his job. There's only 32 of them. It's probably a tricky situation. How did that all go down with you, coach? I've never heard you talk about it.
Yeah, that was a very weird situation. I had actually had hip replacement surgery the day after the season, and I was just out of the hospital and had just gotten home from the hospital after the season ended, and that's when the announcement came out over the news that Tampa Bay was going to let Lovie Smith go, and I went to Tampa because I wanted to work for Lovie. And at that same time, I was also scheduled to interview 4 days later with the 49ers. And 49ers, actually, the owner and the GM at the time flew out to Tampa to interview me. At that same time, the Tampa GM, Jason Light, he told me that they were interested in me there. So it really just came down to a timing deal. I feel like I was in really good position with the 49ers, but I really did want to stay in Tampa. I mean, no one wants to move their family if they across the country if they don't have to. I felt like Tampa had a good young team. And so, like you said, there's only 32 of them. And in the way I was looking at it is I was going to get one of those two jobs, whether it was 49ers or Tampa. And I was hoping for Tampa at that point, and it ended up working out.
We're talking to Dirk Cutter, our new NFL playoff correspondent, former Boise State head coach, former NFL head coach. Dirk, let's talk and let's continue this conversation about Kellen Moore just a little bit. We love Kellen Moore around here, and eventually he's going to be a head coach. I'm convinced of that. I'm not sure how fast, but let's just be honest and have a candid conversation. A young guy, regardless of who he is, what are the pros and cons of a young guy becoming a first-time head coach, and how does Kellen Moore fit that criteria?
Well, I think the one thing you're seeing this year, Mike, is there's eight jobs open, and usually they're only talking about four, five, six guys to fill these jobs. They're interviewing, these teams are interviewing a ton of guys. They're interviewing, I think I've read of teams interviewing 10-plus guys for these jobs, and there's some very qualified candidates. The last couple years, the trend has been to hire younger guys. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that are in that 38, 39-year-old range instead of the 50 to 60 year old coaches. They're hiring younger guys. So obviously I think the fact that Sean McVay has had so much success with the Rams, a lot of these owners are looking for the next Sean McVay, and that's going to work in Kellen's favor. I mean, Kellen's done a good job in Dallas. And as you said earlier, I mean, he's definitely going to be a head coach in the NFL at some point. It really just comes down to, you know, based on the interview process, you got to get that one owner, and one GM to say, yeah, that's my guy. So I think he's definitely going to get one. But I also think, you know, I think Dan Quinn, the D coordinator at Dallas, is hot right now. Todd Bowles, the D coordinator for Tampa, is hot. I'm hearing Leslie Frazier, the D coordinator for Buffalo. Hearing his name hot and heavy on the Bears job. Brian Daboll, the O coordinator for the Bills, I think he's going to get one of these jobs. There's always Eric Bieniemy. There's Byron Leftwich, Matt Eberflus, the D coordinator for the Colts. There's just a bunch of guys in the mix this year.
Dirk, you're not the kind of guy that's going to reach out and give some unsolicited advice to a guy, but if you had a chance to talk to Kellen Moore, based on what you learned, based on the experiences you went through, what's one piece of advice you would give him in terms of the interview process, and what's the one piece of advice you would give him about being a first-time head football coach in the National Football League?
The advice for the interview process is, you know, do your research, and your agent would help would help you with this, but do your research on the owner and what are the owner's hot buttons, because you know, at the end of the day, that's what makes the NFL different, way different than college, is it's run by 32 billionaires that run the NFL, 32 owners. And so those owners can do basically whatever they want. And if you can impress an owner, you know, maybe it's not this go round, but those owners talk to each other. So that would be one piece of advice for the interview process. And then, you know, just as far as becoming an NFL head coach, you know, Kellen's been in the NFL now for quite some time, either as a player or as an assistant coach or an offensive coordinator. So he knows the inner workings. But I would just say, you know, continue to learn all the nuances of stuff like the salary cap, you know, learn about relating not only to your players on offense, but players on defense. Because once you're a head coach, you've got to talk to everybody, and then constantly be building your assistant coach list. That's another thing a lot of people don't understand. In the NFL, you can't just get all your buddies. Because if guys are under contract, you can't get them as your assistants unless you're making them a coordinator. So, you know, continue to build your staff, and know you got to have a long list of guys, because you're not going to be able to get everybody you want.
NFL playoff correspondent, Idaho Sports Talk's Dirk Cutter, hanging out with us right now. And Coach, motivating grown men. I know there's that has to be a part of the job, a big part of the job. I heard Bill Parcells say once, if I have to motivate somebody, then I pick the wrong player. You need to motivate yourself. And I believe in that to an extent. But I also have seen all the hard knocks and all the stuff of you head coaches talking and motivating. How do you motivate grown men, Coach Cutter?
Yeah, you know, I get asked that question a lot, and I think people have a little bit of a misconception that just because these are grown men and they make a lot of money that they don't want to be coached and they don't want to be motivated. That's not true at all. I mean, these guys, I found they want to be motivated. And, you know, whether we were bringing in outside speakers, a lot of teams do that. A lot of that does fall on the head coach. It does fall on the coordinators. And the players eat that stuff up as long as they can see the value and how that's making them better. Anything you can do, whether it's motivation, whether it's technique, whether it's fundamentals, whether it's nutrition, whether it's recovery, anything that those guys think, A, gives them a better chance to make the team, stay in the league, make more money, get more playing time, reach their bonuses, those guys are all in on that. And, you know, I think I would really say that, you know, you got more guys that are unmotivated on your college teams than you do on the NFL teams because they realize it's such a short stay in the league. 2.5 to 3 year average NFL career, those guys are going to do everything they can to stay in the league.
Dirk Cutter, let's dive into your wheelhouse. You've known Andy Reid since you were in your 20s. You guys shared a basement office in San Francisco. You guys made less than $10,000 a year, and now he's chasing Super Bowl titles. What is it about Andy Reid that makes him so damn good in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's crazy when they put those numbers up. 100 wins with two different franchises and definitely going to be in the NFL Hall of Fame. And Andy is just such a detail-oriented coach. And you can really tell that, you know, the players have really bought into him and he gives them ownership, especially on the offensive side. And then, you know, his defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, has been a head coach in the NFL, has coached with Andy when they were with Philly. But, you know, Andy, he learned the West Coast system handed down from Bill Walsh to Mike Holmgren. Andy learned it from Mike Holmgren when he was up in Green Bay as an assistant coach. But he's taken that Bill Walsh system, and he's definitely put his own spin on it. Like Andy's creativity, like how many weeks in a row are they going to score on that underhand shovel pass? And they even scored twice on it last week. Like, I mean, come on. They're running it. They change up the look and the motion on it every week, and every week they score another touchdown on it. But, you know, I just think his creativity and the buy-in that he's got from his players is really impressive. And, you know, Andy's just – he's a player's coach all the way, but he also – you know, most people don't know that Andy cut his teeth as an O-line coach. You know, he played O-line at BYU. He's a great O-line coach, but he's never coached O-line in the NFL.
It's crazy. Great Dirk Cutter with us, playoff correspondent. Dirk, I'm in love with Joe Burrow. He's my favorite young quarterback to watch. Everything about him. When you watch Joe Burrow, I mean, do you give the Bengals a shot this week in Tennessee against the one seed? I know you've been around some great quarterbacks. But Joe Burrow, what do you see when you see this kid, and what chance does he have this week of pulling this thing off for the Bengals?
Yeah, the thing that just jumps out about Burrow right now is his confidence. And, you know, you saw that in him in his last year at LSU. You saw the same thing. And then, obviously, he had the knee injury in his rookie year. But he is so confident, and you can tell that the players around him have bought into that. And, you know, him and Ja'Marr Chase have it going on, just like Aaron Rodgers has it going on with his receiver. So I think Cincinnati does have a shot at Tennessee. Tennessee, I think a big question that, you know, we're not going to know maybe till tomorrow if Derrick Henry's going to play. You know, Tennessee's a good defensive team, but the way Cincinnati's playing with confidence right now, I definitely would not put it past them. I think their weather is going to be okay for that game. And, so the passing game is going to be there for Cincinnati. And I think that'll be a, I think you're looking at a 3.5 point line or something like that right now. And that's going to be right there.
Yep. Yep. Dirk, you know, of all the quarterbacks you've coached, I love hearing stories of arm strength. And I mean, I can go back to Akili Smith with you at Oregon, and I heard that dude could just spin it. Of all the coaches, or I'm sorry, the quarterbacks you've ever had, Dirk, who spun it the most effortlessly? Just what a beautiful arm to watch.
That's an easy one. David Garrard. David Garrard, oh my God, could that guy spin the football? I mean, Dave, yeah. Dave was like 6'1", 245. He's built like a bowling ball. But, man, could he spin that football. That spiral was so tight, and you could hear it coming.
Dirk Cutter, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, whatever the math is, there was a time where I think you were interested in sniffing around for the Green Bay Packers quarterback job. They had a guy by the name of Brett Favre, and he was looking for a new coach. Let's fast forward 20-plus years later, and now they got the grand hippie of the NFL and Aaron Rodgers. Would you like to coach Aaron Rodgers?
Sure. I mean, you're always wanting to coach guys that can dominate a game like he can. I just think Aaron Rodgers right now, in my opinion, is easily the MVP this year. I mean, this guy is playing at such a high level. And you know what's crazy? If you go back and look at Aaron Rodgers over the last 6 or 8 years, he only throws like 2 picks a year. I mean, he's throwing over 40 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. I mean, you got to be kidding me. As much as they throw the ball, just such a high level, especially him and Devontae Adams. I would love to coach a guy like that. I mean, he's been a scrambler. Yeah. At first, it didn't look like he really bought into this new offense, which is actually just a version of the 49er Kyle Shanahan offense. But now he's totally bought in, put a little bit of his own spin on it. Him and the head coach and the play caller all on the same page. And I think, you know, even though the 49ers have looked really good the last 2 weeks, I mean, I think people are underestimating how good Green Bay was playing at the end of the year.
This is going to be the best segment of the week. I can feel it already, Prater, talking NFL with former head coach Dirk Cutter. Dirk, we'll get you out of here. We really appreciate it. But first, just one quick name. Of all the guys still playing, whether it's a coach or a former player, somebody you know, who are you rooting for to get that big fat rock on their finger, Dirk?
Well, there was a bunch of guys on that Tampa team that got him last year.
Yep.
You know, Mike Evans is one of my favorite players. Chris Godwin's now out for the year. That O-line at Tampa, 4 of those 5 starters are guys that we had when I was in Tampa. So, you know, shoot, those guys, they all got their rings. Kansas City, you know, I'm close with a bunch of those guys. They got their ring. Yeah, I'd have to maybe say Buffalo and their Wyoming quarterback, Wyoming Cowboy quarterback, but I don't know if they can beat Kansas City. They sure looked good. They sure looked good last week, though. I mean, 7 drives, 7 touchdowns. That's going to be tough to duplicate.
Absolutely, against Belichick, no less. Dirk, we'll do this again next week. Can't wait to talk about it already. I'm going to start my questions tonight, Coach. Love it.
All right, well, you know, you said the best segment of the week. When I was on hold, I was listening to that Scott Slant breakdown of Boise State basketball game tonight. Heck, that got me fired up. I'm ready to tune in and watch that game. He had more stats packed into that 30-second spot than that. I mean, you guys get that every day out of him. I mean, I'm a Scott Slant guy.
Oh, my God. Tom Scott's probably listening. You just made his year, Dirk Cutter. We love it, man. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll talk next week. Great stuff, Coach.
All right, guys. Have a great one. Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, Tom Scott with the glowing Dirk Cutter endorsement there, Praters. I love it. Coming back, which quarterback, and I want you to text this in, which quarterback this weekend is under the most pressure to win? Who do you got? Text it up. We'll talk about it when we come back on Prater the Ballgame, Idaho Sports Talk, KTIK Sports Radio, The Ticket.
You're listening to Idaho Sports Talk with Prater in the Ballgame on Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket.